A biochemist stares at the ceiling in Berkeley, her mind racing. The coronavirus is spreading. Her lab is shutting down. But Jennifer Doudna knows something most people don't. The gene editing tool she helped pioneer, CRISPR, was born from bacteria's ancient war against viruses. If any technology could help humanity fight back, this was it. Within days, she mobilizes teams across campus, transforming research spaces into testing facilities, rushing to deploy a tool that would earn her a Nobel Prize later that year. But beneath the urgency lies a question that keeps her awake. Should we use this technology not just to fight viruses today, but to redesign humans to resist them forever? We've entered the third great revolution of modern times. After physics gave us the atomic age and computers gave us the digital age, we now face the life science revolution, where children will study genetic code alongside computer code, and the very definition of being human hangs in the balance. Growing up blonde and blue-eyed in predominantly Polynesian Hawaii, Doudna knew what it felt like not to belong. Classmates called her hole, outsider. She felt like a freak. But alienation has a strange way of forging scientists. That discomfort sparked a curiosity about how humans fit into the natural world, a question that would shape her entire career. When her father handed her a worn paperback of The Double Helix, she thought she was getting a detective story. She was right, just not the kind she expected. James Watson's account of discovering DNA structure revealed that women could be scientists, that molecules' shapes determine their functions, and that science itself was detective work. When her high school guidance counselor told her girls don't do science, the words didn't crush her. They crystallized her resolve. While DNA gets the glory, RNA quietly runs the show. The central dogma describes DNA transcribing into messenger RNA, which direct protein assembly. But RNA does far more. In the early 1980s, scientists discovered ribozymes, RNA molecules that catalyzed their own splicing. This Nobel Prize-winning revelation suggested RNA came first, serving as both information storage and chemical catalyst. When Doudna joined Jack Szostak's Harvard lab in 1986, he proposed exploring whether ribozymes could self-replicate, potentially revealing life's origins. While others rushed toward the Human Genome Project, Szostak taught her, never do something 1,000 other people are doing. At Pomona College, homesickness had nearly pushed Doudna toward French literature. Then a summer in Don Hem's lab changed everything. Research offered discovery without predetermined answers. Working with graduate student Jamie Kate, Doudna pioneered RNA crystallography, revealing how RNA folds into complex three-dimensional structures. Their landmark paper demonstrated how metal ions formed a core around which RNA folded, explaining how RNA could slice, splice, and replicate itself. This deep knowledge of RNA's structural secrets would prove crucial when she encountered CRISPR. In 1987, Japanese researcher Yoshizumi Ishino discovered something peculiar in E. coli DNA, five identical sequences arranged as repeats separated by spacers. Spanish microbiologist Francisco Mojica found similar patterns in salt-loving archaea, convincing him these repeats mattered. Despite colleagues urging him to stop obsessing about repeats and funding struggles, Mojica persisted. In 2001, he coined the name CRISPR, clustered, regularly interspaced short palindromic repeats. His breakthrough came in 2003 when he realized the spacer segments matched viral DNA. Bacteria were storing fragments of their attacker's genetic code, a biological memory of past infections. When the same virus attacked again, bacteria could recognize and destroy it. "I was so excited I couldn't sleep," Mojica recalled. After multiple rejections, his paper appeared in 2005. He'd uncovered Earth's longest war, bacteria fighting bacteriophages, for 3 billion years through this adaptive defense system. In 2006, Berkeley microbiologist Jillian Banfield introduced Doudna to CRISPR. Doudna assembled a team, Blake Weidenhoft, who collected extremophile microorganisms, and Martin Jinnick, a Czech biochemist with RNA expertise. Their 2009 breakthrough revealed Cas1 structure, the enzyme bacteria used to store viral DNA snippets as immunological memories. French microbiologist Emmanuel Charpentier discovered TRAC RNA, which processed CRISPR RNA into its active form. At a Puerto Rico conference, Charpentier approached Doudna, "I think it's going to be fun to work with you." Their collaboration revealed that CRISPR-Cas9 required three components: Cas9 enzyme, guide RNA matching target DNA, and TRAC RNA holding everything together. The stunning realization? They could program Cas9 to cut any DNA sequence by simply changing the guide RNA. When Jinnick showed Doudna the data, they paused in awe. They developed a means to rewrite the code of life. Their landmark June 2012 science paper transformed genetic engineering forever. The 2012 paper ignited a race to adapt CRISPR for human cells. By January 2013, Feng Zhang and George Church published demonstrations in human cells, with Doudna's following weeks later. Scientific competition became commercial rivalry, attracting hundreds of millions in venture capital and triggering patent battles. Despite Doudna filing first, Zhang's expedited application secured patents in April 2014, upheld in February 2017. The real promise emerged in treating disease. In July 2019, Victoria Gray became the first American treated with CRISPR for sickle cell disease. 9 months later, 81% of her bone marrow cells produced healthy hemoglobin, no pain attacks, no transfusions. High school graduations, college graduations, weddings, grandkids, "I thought I wouldn't see none of that," Gray said. "Now I'll be there." By early 2020, 24 clinical trials targeted conditions from cancer to genetic blindness. When COVID hit, researchers pivoted to developing detection tools. On October 9, 2020, Doudna and Charpentier received the Nobel Prize, the sixth and seventh women among 186 chemistry laureates. In November 2018, Chinese scientist He Jianku shocked the world by announcing the first gene-edited babies, twin girls whose CCR5 gene was modified to resist HIV. Working in secret with questionable ethics approval, he presented at the Second International Summit on Human Genome Editing in Hong Kong. The scientific community was appalled. David Baltimore called it irresponsible. Doudna felt physically ill watching her co-invented tool create genetically designed humans without safety testing or ethical consensus. His unpublished manuscript revealed incomplete editing, unwanted mutations, and mosaic cells. He received a 3-year prison sentence, a $430,000 fine, and a lifetime ban from reproductive science. The scandal forced society to confront profound questions. Doudna's ethical journey had begun with a disturbing 2014 nightmare meeting Adolf Hitler with a pig's face who wanted to learn about gene editing. This motivated her to organize conferences, establishing guidelines, and calling for a moratorium on clinical germline editing. The fundamental questions centered on key distinctions: somatic versus germline editing, treatments versus enhancements. While fixing Huntington's disease seems justified, what about sickle cell, which also provides malaria immunity? What about enhancing intelligence, athletic ability, or appearance? CRISPR creates a fundamental tension: individual freedom versus collective consequences. While parents might claim the right to select advantageous genes, this creates a genetic marketplace that could permanently encode inequality. Harvard philosopher Michael Sandel warns that engineering children undermines appreciation for life's gifted character, replacing natural talent with engineered advantages and diminishing empathy for the less fortunate. The discomfort with playing God reflects concerns about tampering with nature's systems without understanding consequences. Yet humans have always battled nature's poisoned offerings. Darwin himself noted evolution's clumsy, wasteful, blundering works. The wisdom lies in balancing mastery with acceptance. Doudna's views evolved from opposition to cautious support after meeting families with genetic diseases. She believes CRISPR should only address medical necessity when no alternatives exist, fearing the wealthy could create a widening gene gap. CRISPR emerged from pure curiosity. Mojica's fascination with strange sequences, Doudna exploring RNA secrets, Charpentier investigating bacterial immunity. Perhaps this same curiosity will guide wise use. We hold power to rewrite our genetic destiny. The question isn't whether we'll use it, we already are, but whether we'll use it well.